Well, good morning, everyone. Please stand and grab a hymn book. I don't know why I'm so loud this morning. I'll settle down. But let's turn to page 529. We're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. I need more coffee. Here we go. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine.
Amen. Amen. It's good to see you today. Trust you're doing well in the Lord. And how can we not do well in him? Aren't you thankful that we can indeed trust him for our supply? Whatever the need is, he will indeed supply it. It's good to see you. It's good to see some visitors in our midst today. We thank the Lord for sending you our way. Trust that the services will indeed be a blessing to you, because you've already, just by being here, been a blessing to us. Well, let's take a couple minutes, folks, and welcome each other. Church family, you make sure you welcome our visitors. Amen.
I love that song, Love Lifted Me, don't you? If you would, return back to your seats. Let's turn to 285. 285, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What have I to dread?
What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
You can be seated. Stand with us once more and turn to page 281.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus.
third. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Man, please be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places. We'll get ready to receive this morning's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements while we're doing this. We've got a ladies' fellowship. It's going to be Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the pastor's class. It says everybody bring their favorite snacks. See Miss Marsha for any details beyond that. Metro Saints Fellowship. We're going to have our second Metro Saints Fellowship this Thursday, and it's going to be from 11. It starts at 11 o'clock. It says everybody bring soup or chili and fixings. So last time we had potluck and it was wonderful. The soup and chili, I can't wait to try everybody's. It kind of takes place while I'm here also, so I get the benefit of sampling everything, a little here and a little there. You know, there's never too much cheese on anything. Hint, hint, hint. Anyway, can you agree with that one? So Amen. There we go. All right, I'll let you make the other announcement as far as that's concerned.
Okay.
And there we go. Ladies ministry, hey, we got some folks. Miss Marsha is tweaking the visitation. If you would like to help with that, see Miss Marsha about that. And we could always use a little help as far as that goes. And as speaking of help, we need some help on Amen. Greeters and ushers and greeters. And ushers. We need some hushers too. So some greeters and ushers. And folks, you know, the choir sounded wonderful this morning, did it not?
Amen.
Yes, it did sound wonderful. But, you know, it would sound a little bit better if you can sing and be up here with them.
Amen.
So, hey, pray about it, okay?
Amen.
Don't say, oh, I don't want to. At least pray about it. And see what the Lord tells you what not to do as far as that goes. So, anyway, I want to say a great big thank you for those who attended the Valentine's banquet. It was a fundraiser for the kids to go to camp. We didn't start off that way. It kind of ended up being that way. We're just going to do it just for fun, just because, and ended up being wonderful. Thank you all for attending. Thank you all for being so generous. Because of the generosity, the down payment for camp was paid for. So you can say, hey, we're on target for having camp for free this year, depending on how the yard sale goes. Hold off on the yard sale stuff for a little bit longer, okay, if you can. Now, if you can, hold off a little bit longer. We are limited on our space, so that who knows? There's a possibility, if the Lord blesses with that, the camp might be free this year, and that's something to pray about, by the way. And I have heard many, many, many thank yous on how well the young people served. Well, I can't say thank you for that one, except that one. I'm going to say, parents, thank you for that.
Amen.
You know, y'all have them all the time. We just have them for an hour or so a week. Thank y'all for that. So, very good job. So, let's pray. Lord, thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the ability just to say thank you. And why we need to say thank you. You gave your son to die on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you so much for that. We can't say thank you for spent the rest of eternity. We never could say thank you enough. Lord, right now we're asking to be at the offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. And Lord, here momentarily when the preacher comes, Lord, please, Lord, just give him the liberty to say what you want him to say. And please prepare our hearts to receive it. Love you, Lord. Jesus' name we're praying. Amen.
Amen. I'll make that announcement that Curtis alluded to concerning the Metro Saints time together this Thursday. Teresa Graham, of course, has some connections at and knows some of the attorneys at the Bar Association, and one of the attorneys from the Bar Association is going to be with us on Thursday during our fellowship. And just trying to give some information and pointers on, how do I say this? It's hard for me to say it. Elder law. not law concerning preachers, but for us that are getting elder or older. And so anyways, please be mindful of that. We've had a great time last month. The fellowship, of course, the food was outstanding. And so please come. Please come. We have a great time together.
All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Oh, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Oh, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Oh, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am free.
Through his blood I now am saved. Through his blood I now am saved.
Amen. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I was a bit dry this morning. Please pray for me this morning, and just sensing my own frailties and needing the Lord's direction, the Lord's help today as we come to this point in the service where we would open the Word of God together and trust and pray that He indeed will speak to us. We don't need to hear from some preacher. We need to hear from the God of glory. I've truly enjoyed the theme of our new year. I guess the year's not so new anymore. But indeed, the theme that in Christ we can. Coming from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And as we look at these different messages along the way, thus far, and I don't know, maybe all year, we find those things, indeed, that we are enabled through Christ. We are enabled to live for Him and for His glory. Indeed, the day that you believed, your salvation was possible in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you found your place there in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, well, look at this idea, this truth, that in Christ we can have the right foundation. Please stand with me if you would, in reverence to the Word of God. We don't stand about me or about this church, but we stand in reverence to the Word of God. Beginning to read in verse 46, Jesus asks the question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Father, we bow before you. Lord, I plead with you in Jesus' name to enter in, take charge. Be in absolute control of everything that would be said. Might our thoughts be focused on you. Lord, I'm asking that you would arrest our attention. Give clarity to the pastor and liberty of lip to declare exactly what you want us to hear today. Pray that the wicked one, no place to enter in and cause a disruption or disturbance to what you would want to say to us. Pray that you'd quiet us, that we would hear from the God of glory. Father, again, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that blood that was shed for our sins. Please take your word. Minister, even challenge our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. A number of years ago, I guess it's been about 20 years ago, the Turner family built a house in the hills of Pennsylvania when I was pastoring there. Now, I didn't think much about it until we started to dig. But it's always a question about what kind of ground you're going to be building on, what you'll get into when you begin to dig as to whether you're going to have a good foundation or not. Now you hope, you desire, and certainly as a Christian, you pray that you'll have a solid foundation. That one that won't move, that won't crack, for you to build your house on for the passage of time. Now, as a little side story, Marcia and I were caretakers while we were pastoring there in Pennsylvania. We were caretakers for a church camp, a youth camp. And the name of the camp was Maranatha Youth Ranch. And there was an interesting building. Well, there were several interesting buildings on the campgrounds. One of them was built in about 1900. And it was our dining hall. Well, along the way, they had built an addition on the back of that dining hall. It was made out of cement block. But there was a problem. From the one wall of that dining hall to Buffalo Creek. It was a trout stream that ran through the camp. It wasn't no farther. In fact, it may well have been closer to the wall of that dining hall and those doors. The creek just went right around there. And so as you can understand, over the years, as that creek moved and along and changed its course, that probably where that dining hall was built was where that creek went through at one time. And so the ground was very sandy. And so the foundation to the one side of the building, and for the most part of the building, sat on sand. But it was interesting, on one wall of that old dining, or the old kitchen, there was a huge rock that sat, it was a huge rock, sat right in the middle of that wall. Well, as time would go along, on either side of that rock, the foundation shifted, and oh my, there was a crack up that wall, right where right at the center of that rock, because it wasn't going anywhere. Well, we talked to a few folks and found out the price of what it might cost to fix that wall, and we got kind of milked our chin about that, and we decided, well, maybe we'll try something. And a couple of the guys in our church, we went down there and we dug out that foundation and literally encased the wall in concrete. Well, we were there for several more years, and Marsh and I had the opportunity to visit there a few years back, and the wall's still there. It hasn't fell over yet. But you know, I don't know what time's going to bring, because if you don't build your foundation or you build your building on a good foundation, there's no telling what time is going to do. Well, back to the house. When we began the building of that house, and I had got the services of a backhoe operator. He was a friend of mine. I knew him, and he was all over the place digging holes all the time. And so I asked him to come, and he came to dig. He says, "There's one problem, though, Pastor. I've dug up on that hill where you're building before, and there's rock. There's shale rock just a few inches below the soil." He says, "But we'll give it a try. We'll see what happens." Well, he came and he got on the property, of course, and he started digging with that hoe. And he went, he wasn't down in the soil 6-8 inches and hit that shale rock. And he says, he looked at me and I looked back at him, and he kept scraping, and inch by inch, foot by foot, he kept scraping away. And fortunately, for that whole basement, he never hit hard shale rock. And literally, with what he took out of that hole was a pile of rock, of shale, I should say. When he scraped out at the bottom of that basement hole, he literally scraped out around. We didn't even have to put forms in. We poured the footers for that basement in rock. Guess what? That house ain't never going nowhere. It's on rock. The importance of having a good foundation. Building, as we read in our passage, upon the right foundation. It is indeed important to build a house on the right foundation. But, beloved, listen, it's far more important. It's far more important to have a good foundation for your life, for your soul, than it is even for the house you might build. You know, it's sad that most will give more attention to a temporal building than they'll do for the eternal building of their soul, eternal building of their life. So the question has to be asked, what are you building your life upon? What have you staked your life on for the future and even for eternity? There's many things that the world would hold out to us that we might, and they might encourage us to build our life upon. Oh my. Many are building their foundation of their life upon material wealth, on money and the things that money can buy. You know that I often hear this, maybe you've heard it. If I could just get a little bit more money in the bank, I'll be secure. Maybe we've even been guilty of saying that. Really? Listen to the Word of God. From Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28, we read this. It says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. It's interesting, that word fall there means the collapse. I mean, that's essentially what that old cement concrete block wall was doing. It was just collapsing. It was just opening up a gap. Sooner or later, it would have fell down. It would have collapsed under the weight of the building. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the verse goes on to say, but the righteous shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. I love that word blossom. The word flourish means to blossom profusely. You know, the weather's starting to warm up a little bit, and I got one rose bush in the flower bed in the backyard, and boy, it's already starting to show up, send out some new growth, and it's one of those rose bushes that it'll just cover up with beautiful yellow roses. I like to cut a few of them and bring them in and put them in on the counter for Miss Marcia when she's not around. So kind of, I'm trying to put in some points here, guys. The righteous shall blossom profusely as a branch. But he that trusteth in his riches will what? Fall. Later in that same book of Proverbs, in chapter 23, verse 5, it says this. Listen to this. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Now, that's interesting what he was going to say next. I mean, it's like looking on something that's not really there. He goes on and says, for riches. Listen to this. I've had this happen. For riches shall certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Uh-huh. It's just like, where did the paycheck go? As if it wasn't even there. Uh-huh. Riches. Is that what we want to build our house on? A house of our life? Build our lives upon? Well, others are building the foundation of their lives upon fame or maybe notoriety. You know, you'll hear a young person say something like this along the way. I want to make my mark in the world. Well, you might scratch here and there. I don't know how much of a mark you're going to make. I don't know how important it is to worry about such things. You know, along the way in Jesus' earthly ministry, most of the Pharisees, they didn't want anything to do with it. There was a few, like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that put their faith in Christ. Most of them didn't have any use for him. And they said in John chapter 12 and verse 43 says this about the Pharisees. It says, for they love the praise of man more than the praise of the Lord, more than the praise of God. You want notoriety? It's fickle, folks. Here today and gone. Jesus himself said of the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, he says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Oh my, God knows our heart. He knows all men's hearts. It goes on. He says, for that which is highly esteemed among man is abomination in the sight of God. You're looking for notoriety? You're trying to build something for your life upon notoriety or fame? I mean, how quickly do we forget the stars of yesterday? The athletes. Oh my, I don't even want to think about that Hollywood crowd. Well, still others are building upon the gratification of the flesh. Now stick with me on this. They're building the foundation of their life upon the gratification of the flesh. Their life is controlled by what pleases them at the moment. You follow me? If it feels good, do it. Huh? It's like they live as just on the, and at the very second that is elapsing. And the gratification of the flesh, which really means they have no foundation at all. They have no foundation at all. Listen to this. Moses made the right choice with his life. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 about Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh my! Sin is glorified everywhere in our day. You say, oh, you're going to start sounding like one of them old Bible thumpers? Well, that's exactly what I am. I believe this book is absolutely true, that it is the Word of God from front to back. You could call me a Bible thumper, I'll take it as a compliment. It's God's Word. And I guarantee you that sin's pleasures are but for a short time, a season. And there will be a price to be paid for sin. Huh? Paul made it clear, did he not, in Romans chapter 6, which we looked at just a week ago, where he said, indeed, the wages of sin is what? Death. There is a consequence. And beloved, the best sin can offer you is a moment of pleasure. Short-lived. In James chapter 5 and verse 5, says this, right straight to the point. Says, ye have lived in pleasure. The word pleasure means to indulge yourself there. You've lived to indulge yourself. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Well, let's think about that a moment. Again, we've already said you've lived in pleasure. It means the idea you've indulged yourself. You have sought that which would please you for the moment and been wanton. The idea is that word wanton. I know you probably used that 4 or 5 times already today. But it simply means, again, very similar to that word for pleasure. It means appetites. Huh? You're seeking to please your appetites. You live by your appetites. Esau had that problem, didn't he? I mean, I like this description. One of my old Bible teachers in college described him as a stomach with legs. I'm sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Why? For what he, the moment offered. Oh, my. He says, you've nourished, you've fed your heart, you've fed your feet. What's the heart speak of in the scriptures? Your emotions, right? Your feelings. What feels good, that's what you've sought. But the end of it all is what? Listen. You build your foundation upon such, and what do you have? Nothing. You have nothing. It's essential to build our lives on the right foundation. I'm thankful there is a foundation. I'm thankful indeed. That right foundation we read here in verses 47 and 48 in our passage. It says, whosoever cometh to me, Jesus speaking, whosoever cometh to me, heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. That person that takes heed, that listens to what my word says and does that, that follows my word, my direction, my guidance for their life, here's what he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. A right foundation, beloved. And again, what do we find that, what's Jesus say that right foundation is? His word. His word, taking heed to the word of God. This man, I would call him a wise man. This man is listening. He's given attention to God's word. He gives himself to be continually learning and growing in the things of God. Now again, this is not the message for today, but are you doing that? A long, long, long time ago, long before I was a pastor, long before I was a preacher, I covenanted with God that every day that I lived, I try to build on my knowledge and understanding of Him and His Word every day. Every day. I would give myself, hey, even if it was only a few minutes before I went out the door to go to work, I'd spend a little bit of time in the Bible. In God's Word. I wanted to hear from Him, beloved. I've told you this before. You know what happens with a man's wallet in his back pocket. Not talking about when his wife gets a hold of it. I'm talking about, you know, it kind of starts taking shape. Won't say what shape. Well, when I got saved, somebody gave me a little old New Testament. It was one of them ones that wasn't much more than a cardboard cover New Testament. And I carried that New Testament with me every day to work. Well, you fill in the blanks there. That New Testament got formed. When I had a break, when I did, I wanted to know this God that had saved me. And you know the story. I was dumb as a box of rocks, and there's more rocks in the box today than ever. But I wanted to grow. I wanted to know. I wanted to learn about this one that saved me, that gave his life to save me. I wanted to grow and know him better. How are we going to know him better? By learning. Giving ourselves, hey, every day. Every day. You know, we talk about cement block buildings. Look at this building. You know, I don't think this building went up in a day. And when those block layers was putting up this wall, how many blocks did they lay down at a time? One at a time, right? I mean, I've never seen a block layer able to lay down a whole row at a moment, huh? He can only handle, even a bricklayer, he puts one brick in and another. And as you would watch those contractors, those block layers putting up this wall, if you stood here and watched them, you'd think, man, it's going to take them forever to get that wall up. But if you go away and come back at lunchtime and you see what they've done, you think, wow, that's moving along. And then you come back the next day and, wow, they got by. Huh? But it's still how many blocks at a time? One. And if I can learn something, one thing, about my God every day, guess what? My understanding and my knowledge of Him is broadening and it's growing every day. Yeah. Uh-huh. So when you look at the Word of God and you say, preacher, it's tough, it's hard for me to understand. And to, just focus on what? One thing. Uh-huh. Get a handle on one thing. Focus on, hey, if it's one verse of Scripture a day, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to be growing and learning. What's Jesus say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. What's he talking about?
It's talking about His Word. It's talking about the Word of God, taking heed to the Word of God. But not just listening, but living by it. We understand that the Bible says to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Not just taking heed, but what does He do? He doeth it. He doeth it. The man who not only hears, but does the Word of God, lives the Word of God, is the one who has that right foundation for his life. The Lord Jesus describes the care that this man gave to his foundation. What it says, he dug deep. He dug deep. How important is the thing? Are the things of God to us? How important is, hey, listen, knowing Him to us and knowing Him better? Is it worth giving ourselves to? I'd say yes. Absolutely. He dug deep. He wasn't satisfied with just a shallow foundation, a so-so foundation. He went deep. You know, I remember we used to live in Georgia, just outside, just south of Atlanta a ways, 30 or 40 miles. And if I used to have to work in Atlanta some days, sort of like thinking about going to Dallas. Just give me a whooping and get it over with. But I remember going up into Atlanta, and they were putting up one of them big old buildings, you know, that if you drive by, you can't see the top of it. And they were just starting that building, and they had the fences up. You know what a fence does? It makes you want to see through it. Makes you want to peek through it. And I remember they were digging the foundation to go up. And as much as I'm doing everything I can. And just to the point they're starting to honk their horns at me because I'm trying to peek over there to see what they're digging. And they were digging such a hole that you couldn't see the bottom of it. And so in the course of time, as I go by there, guess what I was doing, Drew? Trying to see down in there what was along the way. These big old pillars that start coming up out of the ground. I mean, you couldn't see the bottom of the pillars, but these huge pillars started rising up. They looked like something out of Star Wars. I mean, they come up out of there and the rebar and everything's going every which direction. What were they doing? They had to go deep. Now listen, they had to go deep if they wanted to go high. They had to get a good foundation if they wanted that building to stand. If you want to have a foundation that'll survive and thrive in this crazy world, you better get deep in Jesus. You better get your foundation in Him and His Word. Well, we hasten. The Lord obviously commends this man who built upon the right foundation. Doesn't matter. He says it won't matter how high the floods rise, how hard the rains blow, it won't get shook. You cannot shake it. Beloved, you build your foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how hard this world will beat against you, no matter what the trials and the tribulation, you're founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be shaken. In John chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, oh my, I love it, shall never die. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. That foundation will never crack. Nothing in this world can break it. It will not fall. Every one of us in this room needs that foundation. Needs that foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read there a couple of verses. In Ephesians chapter 2, there, the Apostle Paul writing, and certainly writing to this very same subject, And he's talking to those that have put their faith, those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that believed him. And he says this. He says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." Are you saved? You're a fellow citizen with every saint of glory. It goes on, "and of the household of God, and listen, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." The idea of those words there, of course, the importance is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the Word of God, the Apostle Paul describes him as that very cornerstone. That which would be laid up in the whole structure would be built from that cornerstone. And our cornerstone is Jesus.
Yes, sir.
To build our lives upon. It goes on, "He being Jesus, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, beloved, that applies to you and to myself. It applies to us individually, that we would establish our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is that day, that time. I asked my Sunday school class today, "Do you remember the day God saved you? Do you remember that day when he saved you?" You might not be able to put your finger on a day of the calendar, but do you remember when God saved you? I remember it like it was last night. I got saved at night, Carter's reason I said that. I remember it like it was last night. Because it was so real, what he did in me that day. There was that moment when I believed the Word of God. I believe what God's word said, and I put my faith and my trust in him to save me what? From my sin. Guess what? He did. I believe him. "Whosoever," he said, the word of God says, "believeth in me." We put our faith, our trust in him. There is that truth that individually you and I need to put our faith, our trust in Christ. But the Apostle Paul's writing to that, to a local church when he said those things. When he penned those words, he was writing to a church just like this church, Metropolitan Baptist Church. And he, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, must be the foundation stone of our church. That everything we do, everything we teach, every ministry is not based on what the world wants. Maybe what the world needs, but not what the world wants or what, hey, not even what you or I want. What's God want? And we have clear instruction in his book.
Man.
His sayings are there for us that we can build a household for his habitation. A habitation of God. Oh, wow. Well, quickly. We need to look at the other side of this very quickly. We can have a right foundation. But what about those with no foundation? Verse 49. Listen to this. It says, "But he." You know, I like little words in the Bible. And there's many times that word "but" is where God intervened and changed things for me or for you. But here we see it, the sense, in a very sad way. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth," the dirt, "and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Notice, these are ones that heard. This man heard. This man heard the same thing that the first man did. He heard and what? Doeth not. Doeth not. My. Sad that how many have heard the gospel and gone on doing nothing about it. You know how it's heartbreaking as a preacher to preach as, you know, again, an imperfect man, to say the least. But to give all you've got to preach the gospel, to tell folks about Jesus, and folks walk away and do nothing with it. It's heartbreaking, because you know what their end is, as we read here. Oh my. Let me ask you this. I've heard this reasoning. Let me ask you, since these ones might not have any concern about their destiny, about their eternity, does that somehow exempt them for the implications of their unbelief? Well, of course, we understand that that's obviously not. Let God be true, and every man a liar. The implications of unbelief is the judgment of God. I didn't write that, by the way. It's the Word of God, His sayings. Oh, my. These do not, the Word of God, as we read here. They go on without the right foundation. I remember many years ago, we were young Christians. We really were young at one time. I helped a friend of mine build a storage shed in his backyard. He purchased one of those kits. You know, you can buy the kit and put it together. And so he purchased the kit, and I went over to his house one Saturday morning, and we were going to put it together. And we laid out all the stuff there, all the different 2x4s and sheeting and the shingles and the whole nine yards. And I noticed that there was something missing. And I asked him, I says, what are you going to use for a foundation? What are you going to use to build this on? He said, oh, I'm just going to build it. And I says, really? And I questioned him about it, and he didn't want any kind of a foundation at all. Just build it right on the dirt. Right on the what? The earth, as we read here. And so I go, okay, it's your building. So we laid out the 2x4s and all the rest and put it up. Put up the building. Well, they didn't live too awful far from us, and we'd go by there through their neighborhood quite often. And I remember going down one of the side streets. It was a while later, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. I don't remember. But I remember glancing over and looking into their backyard. And I remember looking at that shed that we put together that day. And yes, sir, David, you figured it out. One back corner was kind of doing one of these numbers. And I thought, oh my. Now I understand it doesn't take a whole lot of foundation for a garden shed. But you better put it on something that's going to be able to hold it. Even a garden shed. We need a foundation, don't we? We need the right foundation. You know, my friend's building couldn't even stand against the normal conditions, let alone the harsh. The winds and the rains, it surely wouldn't have stood against it. So the question comes is, what is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation of your life? Is it on the rock? The rock, beloved. Because there's only really one rock that'll hold you and sustain you, and that's Jesus. The rock, Christ Jesus, as the Bible calls him. No other foundation will do. No other foundation will support in the time of flood. No other foundation can hold out against the streams of life that beat against us. But I'm so thankful that Jesus does. I'm so thankful. Let me ask you, what are you living by? What is the guiding principles of your life? It amazes me how many are just, you know, we kind of glorify that fellow that will strike out into a project and he says, I just did it by the seat of my pants. Well, sometimes it shows too. We better build right. And I'm thankful that God's been pleased to give us all the direction, all the leadership, all the guidance and counsel that you and I will ever need to live for Him. And to live, beloved. Now listen to this. At another time, we'll explain this a little bit better, hopefully. To live successfully. That's another message for another. In Christ, we can live successfully. But what do we mean by success, huh? That's the question. When you live by God's book, you put Him first and the things of God first in your life, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. There's a couple manners of that blessing. You see, the principles of God's Word lay out for us what will just simply be good for us. The best way to live. Huh? Avoiding certain things, incorporating certain things in our life. That will help us to live a good, I'll use that word, successful. But when we lay those things aside, we put ourselves out there under in the ravages of this world with what? Without a foundation. Without the guiding principles that we need to live for Him. Oh Lord, help us. The right foundation, beloved, cannot be shaken. God Himself has provided us that foundation for our lives in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful I can stand behind this pulpit and declare that in Christ we can have the right foundation. And might I expand that? Not only the right foundation, but a great foundation. A wonderful foundation. A trustworthy foundation. Do you have that foundation? Believer, we'll talk more to the believer tonight about building on that foundation. It's important too, isn't it? This morning, do you have that foundation? Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You. Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for our Savior. Thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, these beautiful words from Luke chapter 6 today. I'm so grateful, so thankful that You have provided through Your Son the right foundation for our lives. Father, I thank You personally for the day You intervened in my life, drew me to Yourself, placed me on Your Son, Jesus. But Lord, I don't know hearts in this room today. I don't know where each and every person is with You. And so, Father, I pray that You be pleased to enter in. Work by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would move through these chairs, each row, each section. Father, please deal with hearts. Lord, I plead with You. Lord, I plead with You in Jesus' name. Don't let a single person leave this room today with any other foundation but Jesus Christ. If anyone today, Father, is here without Christ, Lord, help them to see Him, His love for them. That indeed, Father, show them Your Son. They might draw to Him. Whosoever, Lord, make those words real. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank You, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 477.
As we sing this morning, folks, please just obey the Lord. Whatever God says to you to do, just do it. maybe prompting you just to come and pray. Do it. Do it. Maybe prompting you that you need to do business with God. There's some things that need to be dealt with. Just do it. Whatsoever He saith to you to do, do it, please. Maybe you need to be saved. Call out to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that thou shalt be saved. It's His promise. It's His promise. Please obey the Lord as we sing. John.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And certainly appropriate song, huh? Any other ground, sinking sand, just like that sinking sand that was there along Buffalo Creek in the dining hall there at Maranatha Youth Ranch. Every year I'd have to get underneath that building and get the jacks out and jack it up, get it out of the sand a little bit. Just kept sinking. I don't know how far down there's cement blocks and stuff shoved in that sand. Wasn't built on the right foundation. Didn't have any foundation. But I'm thankful that in Christ, in Christ, we can have the right, a great foundation. Amen. Amen. Brother John, would you come?
Let's sing our chorus, I Love Him. What do you want to do? Let's just sing it a cappella, I Love Him.
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
You're dismissed.